With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nikki Ouellette. As fire season winds down, managers are intentionally setting fire to brush piles, slash, and even large sections of forests in an effort to prevent out-of-control fires in future seasons. A group of scientists from Montana and Idaho recently published a paper arguing that strategies like these should be part of a radical rethinking of how people in the West live with fire. Dave McQuethy says Montana has passed a tipping point. Summers are hotter and drier, which means fire season lasts longer, and our approach to put every single fire out, like we've done for the past 100 years, just isn't realistic anymore.
The big take-home message is that we can't respond the way we've been responding in the past to wildfire.
McQuethy is an assistant professor of earth sciences at Montana State University. In a recent article in Nature Sustainability, McQuethy and his co-authors argue that people living in the West need to reconsider how we live with and even harness fire if we want to continue living here in the future.
We have to make changes. And one of the great things that we have to do that is how we used to use fire as a tool in the past.
McQuethy's team found a model in the Netherlands, where instead of fighting rising sea levels with taller and taller dams, engineers built an infrastructure system designed to work with water instead of fight it.
And instead of kind of rebuilding in the same way that they have in the past, they've decided to transform how they accept or live with these hazards. And so it's really just coming back to this idea that fire is a part of Western landscapes. It was in the past, it is today, and it's going to be in the future. And becoming more comfortable with the fact that with warming temperatures and a longer fire season, the best way that we can move into the future is really to accept fire as a natural process and start to think about how can we use fire itself to safeguard our communities.
Where might it make more sense for humans to take a more active or proactive approach to preparing for and living with fire?
Yeah, I mean, almost everywhere in Montana where people are living, it's a great place to think about adaptive resilience. And that really just means that we're making changes to protect communities and people where there's anything that's flammable, any flammable vegetation. So we can think about building materials that are less flammable. Even if we're in homes that have already been built, there's a lot of things we can do around what we call the home ignition zone. And that's just creating a defensible space when there are fires that occur. And the easiest way to do that is just to remove woody fuels around the home.
You and your co-authors also suggest some pretty radical rethinking of even how we design neighborhoods and communities. You've suggested that maybe parking lots or playgrounds could act as vegetationless safe spaces, designing neighborhoods and communities so that there are roads going in and out so that people don't become trapped. You also suggest that we could consider building underground or physical barriers to protect homes. Like, I guess, how did you guys come up with these ideas, and what are you kind of envisioning as a fire-adapted community?
We need to really start thinking about where we have repeated very severe fires under very extreme conditions. Are these the places that we want to rebuild in the same way that we have in the past? And there's places that we want to start thinking about that, even in Montana, where there's a lot of fuel and where there's people living right in the fuels in these dense forests. That's something that we should be thinking about. And we're not saying that, you know, every community should be using the same approach. That's one of the lessons we've learned from looking at communities that have achieved some success in protecting themselves from fires, is that they've all used kind of a unique suite of approaches.
You argue that maybe we should be taking it even a step beyond that homeowner responsibility and just having a profound shift in the way that humans relate to fire. You call it bouncing forward in your paper. And can you describe what that might look like or where it could be applied effectively?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can learn from folks in eastern Montana and the tribes who have really recognized that fire is a tool that can really help protect communities. And it's useful for a number of reasons. And have been using fire for, you know, centuries to kind of manage fuels and make landscape safer for people to live, and also just promote well-being in terms of preparing land for agriculture or ranching. On tribal lands, folks use fire to promote certain types of vegetation that are desirable or very culturally important. And I think we can learn from that.
Are there places in Montana where it would make sense to just try to bring things back exactly how they were before a fire came through?
Yes, in more remote areas, in, for example, in parts of Glacier National Park, in Yellowstone National Park, other high elevation forests. If a fire comes through, it might make a lot of sense just to let that forest regenerate however it regenerates.
There's a chance, with temperatures continuing to rise and drought becoming more prevalent, there's a chance that if we do use fire to fight fire and do these prescribed burns, as you're suggesting, that landscapes are not going to come back as they've looked in the past. How should people be thinking about that as we kind of move into a drier, hotter future?
Previous research from folks all over the West is showing that in some settings, because of the changing conditions, after wildfires, we're not seeing forests regenerate, and we're seeing these ecosystems transition to either scrub or grassland type systems. And one of the best ways we can deal with that is just to accept that, accept those transitions. And in some cases, we might want to be more proactive where there's an important ecosystem or vegetation type that we want to try to maintain. But we need to think about where that might be successful. In most cases, the best approach would be to just accept these transitions as they occur and really understand that these types of changes have occurred over the last several thousand years as conditions warmed or cooled with normal climate variability.
Why aren't more communities taking that transformative approach? What's so challenging about it?
Yeah, I think one of the reasons that we haven't seen as many changes as we might expect is that we've had so much success controlling and limiting fires over the last 100 years, and now that's changing. We no longer can put out all fires when we have longer fire seasons and warmer conditions and extreme fire weather. So I think it's time for us to start thinking about transformation and adaptation. And if we do that now, we're going to have a much better chance of living with fire as opposed to kind of experiencing the real negative impacts of these really big, severe fires.
That was Montana State University professor Dave McQuethy speaking about his recent paper published in Nature Sustainability.